Hello, listeners, and welcome to the podcast that tries to charge headfirst through today via the distraction of yesterday, with lists, trivia, and 13 litres of old Ianson's dad botherer up the park.
Up the what?
Up the park.
Okay. I was just concerned as to where you'd put that 13 litres, that was all.
Yeah, it's not up the trunk. That was last week's show.
It was.
Have you a favourite drink that you enjoy when you're hanging around on the swings in the park these days?
I think it would have to be one of your Mad Dog 2020s.
Yeah, and for me, Brasso. Welcome to Don't Let's Chat. Hello, I'm Ben Baker.
I'm Doug Gatrell. Hi, hello.
And this is Don't Let's Chart. As I say, it's a programme where we look at this day in history and try and rifle through for some interesting nits in the hair of history. And should have thought that nails you through a bit more.
Yeah.
With me, as ever, with this giant nit comb of fact.
I don't like it, Ben. I'll be honest with you.
No,
I don't like it.
Especially for two bald men.
Yes.
It's not a good look, is it?
No, it's not.
Shall I move on quickly to today's celebrated days?
I wish you would.
So, as ever, we start the show with the top 5 days that are celebrated on this day, the 20th of April. And at number 5 is the Christian feast day of Blessed Odor of Brabant.
Okay.
There's not much on this day.
I'm surprised.
There can't all be a Maserati.
Okay.
Number 4, UN Chinese Language Day at the United Nations.
Right, okay, no, fair.
So if you are going to the United Nations, please speak some Chinese language.
I mean, it seems like, given, you know, relative population levels, they should get more than a day.
I mean, I might have read it wrong, and it might say un-Chinese Language Day. I'm not entirely sure.
Un-Chinese implies that they were Chinese once, but are Chinese no more.
Number 3! Because, Jesus Christ. It's National Lookalike Day in the US.
Okay.
Now, this sounds like a ridiculous made-up holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And it is.
Of course it is.
Basically, a Pittsburgh radio and TV reporter called Jack Etzel created it to do. He needed a light story. So he just went out with a cameraman and started interviewing people about which celebrities they thought they looked like. And then he went, oh, it's a national day. And then so he could do it every year. Have you ever been told you look like anyone, Phil?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Cool.
I
mean, it doesn't sound like it was a flattering one based on your.
No, reaction. It was Penfold from Danger Mouse, Ben. That's who it was. So.
That's just anyone who's got glasses and less hair than.
Yeah, but you've not seen me in a blue suit, have you? It's pretty uncanny.
Number 2, National Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day.
Good. On board.
Now, you know, I really tried to find out the basis of this. All these sites have it, and I genuinely think just one site put it down and everyone else copied it.
I think what it generally seems to be, from when we've done this stuff in the past, is usually some sort of trade association has gone, it's this, it's officially Crisps Day, sponsored by Walkers.
With too many right-way round pineapples, quick! Yeah,
but I don't know whether it would be the National Cake Council or the International Federation of Pineapple Farmers that has set this one up, but it'll be one of them. It'll be one of them.
Oh, dear. Do you remember when ITV used to edit films and they said, hey, you pineapple farmer?
That's no.
Yeah.
I don't.
No.
I don't remember it. It's wrong.
Didn't happen. Ah, no. Number 1 is 420 and it's Hitler's birthday. Yeah, it's,
yeah.
As two people who don't really do drugs because they're dull.
Wait, are the drugs dull or are we dull? I don't.
I mean, is heroin a drug?
Yes.
In which case, yes, some of us do drugs. and it is Hitler's birthday as well. I didn't get him out. I don't think he's deserved it, quite frankly. And at least him and Richard Herring have something to talk about now.
God, can we move on?
Talking about South playing snooker, obviously.
No, I just want to move on from Hitler chat, really.
Well, that's why I got out of the way at the start. Good. So there is no more. It's not like last week where we kept coming back to Port Martin and this fuse mark. That's gone. Let's underline the Hitler. No more Hitler. Hitler out. Hitler bad.
Stop saying Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
There's my neighbours that'll be knocking on the door in a minute.
What, saying, no, please do continue.
What's this about Hitler? Anyway.
1611.
Yes.
It's a good year, especially if you're Shakespeare.
Right.
As the first non-performance of Macbeth was performed at the Globe Theatre in London. What's your best line from Macbeth? Mine is, okay, I am a Scottish detective, brackets night.
Mine is, ah, bloody hell, there's them trees coming.
That's Evil Dead, isn't it? Like, we didn't do Macbeth.
Ah, fair enough. We did Measure for Measure as well, but I don't remember anything about that.
No, I just remember a lovely measure of Brassel goes down a treat. This episode sponsored by Brassel.
Glad that's the callback. Let's keep going.
1653, Oliver Cromwell. Boo.
No.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know which one you're into. Oliver Cromwell.
Yay. Ish.
Dissolve the Rump Parliament. Sadly, this is nothing to do with Slimer. This means a parliament that's left over from the actual legitimate parliament.
Mm.
Whilst I could have gone a lot of directions with that, because, you know, interesting history and facts.
Yeah.
I mainly was thinking if Rear of the Year was still a thing.
Oh, dear.
And whilst there wasn't one in 2020, because presumably COVID got up bum, it is still an ongoing thing.
That's... I don't know which part of that I am more upset by.
Don't worry about it. So, can you tell me if the following have won the Male or Female Award since it was first gotten by Barbara Windsor, traditionally famous for her buttocks, in 1976? Right. It's a Rear of the Year quiz!
Oh, good.
Number one, Carol Vorderman.
Yes.
Twice, 2011 and 2014.
Well done to her bottom.
Number two, Slimer, Gary Barlow. Same difference.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, 1997.
All right.
Must have been a very poor year. For arses. Number three, Rod Hull.
No.
Sadly not, but that would have been lovely. Especially because Emu would not be nominated due to having a hole in his anus.
We all have a hole in our anus, Ben.
Yeah, sadly, Amy was not eligible due to being a cloth bastard. So, it's all about the front with Amy.
Move on.
Number four, Sue Pollard.
No.
Yes, in 1988, she was the winner.
Okay.
Number five, Joe Grieco from TV Spats.
No. Absolutely not. Why would you reference Spats?
All right, Joe Grieco from Mega Mania, a game show I did not know existed until last week, where the first episode was set in a real hospital. Number six, Bez.
I'm going to say yes, but I don't really understand why.
Sadly not. Sadly not. It does sound good, though. It sounds real, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, sounds plausible.
That dance he does where he goes three steps back and three steps forward. It's good work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crucial for the glutes.
Number seven, Michael Barrymore.
Oh, God, I bet he did, didn't he?
Are you asking to tell them?
No, I'm telling you.
Yeah, 1986.
Oh, dear.
A good year for us. Number eight, the Skipton Strangler.
No, obviously not. But also, why is everything in 1986? 1986 is our go-to year every time. I'm finding out that that's the year Michael Barrymore won Rear of the Year. Just fits in nicely, doesn't it?
But the Skipton Strangler.
No.
Oh, apparently that's not an option.
No, it's not, because that's, one, that's not a thing.
It is.
And two, things that aren't a thing can't win a thing. That's a rule.
Number nine, John Altman, TV Nasty Nick.
Yes.
Yes. In 2001. You know, the peak year for John Altman best activities.
Yeah.
At number 10, Davy Dirtbox, the assingest having man.
What I like, Ben, about your quizzes is how your interest in them fades as we go through them. Never mind from episode to episode. At some point, you're going to do a quiz. And the last question, the last one's going to be quiz.
Oh, I should have done that. That's much better than what I wrote. So you say Davy Dirtbox? Did he?
I'm saying that Davy Dirtbox is once again not real, and if you're not real, you can't win things.
Sadly, he died before he could receive the award.
No, he did not.
He did.
Stop it.
He died from Too much Brasso.
What did Davy Dirtbox do for a living, Ben? What was his job? Come on, let's fill out the history of Davy Dirtbox for the listeners. What did he do for a living?
Astronaut.
Astronaut?
Yeah.
Was that astronaut with two S's?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's a big suit at the back.
You're an idiot.
Thank you. I will move on to 1862. And the first pasteurisation test was completed by Louis Pasteur and Claude Bernard. Oh. Now, I don't have much to say about this, but I do have a joke about pasteurisation.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gender swapped it to remove the horrific sexism.
Okay.
Right, right. A man goes to the farmer and asks for 40 gallons of milk.
Right.
Okay. No, I can't do the voice. Okay, no problem, he says.
Probably. Okay.
Yeah.
Very specific farmer.
Do you want it pasteurized? No. Just up to my penis.
Good. Well done. Thanks. Thanks for bringing that to the table. Next time, please leave it at the door rather than bringing it to the table.
Like a milkman, yeah.
Exactly like a milkman, yes.
Oh, that's what we have in Keith, the Brasso man who comes with six cans. Right, on your doors. That's lovely. Oh. Oh, I need to get this podcast finished so we can get some downers.
Yeah.
Pump Gardens, whee! 1918, Manfred von Richthofen. Do you know who that is?
It's the Red Baron, Ben.
It certainly is. And he shot down his 79th and 80th victims on this day, 1918. His final victories before his death the following day.
Mm.
What was really embarrassing, of course, is it was done by a small white dog riding a kennel. But, you know, it was popular. He was represented in all sorts of films and TV and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Famously, Aid Edmondson plays him in Blackadder Goes Forth.
Oh, he does, doesn't he? Yeah.
Being shot by Rick as Flash Art. Less famously, portrayed in an animated episode of the ABC Saturday Superstar movie, where the Baron was portrayed as a talking brown German Shepherd dog.
Presumably that's the one that Snoopy was after.
Well, yeah, I assume it was a jealousy thing over Emmys or something. He also left his mark on the new Scooby-Doo movies and the episode The Ghost of the Red Baron, which featured a villain masquerading as Richthofen's ghost. You know.
Sure.
For kids.
Hey, get off! Get off me!
Hooray!
Good grief, it's Siegfried!
Jinkies! I was positive it was all Mr. Terra.
But I don't understand.
Siegfried posed as the ghost of the Red Baron and spooked the airport to scare away all the legitimate pilots.
Absolutely. That's the reference that all children can get behind.
I mean, to be fair, about the same era, Sparky comic in Britain had Baron von Reich's pudding, which is an excellent pun.
it's very good, but niche.
Yeah, and Richthofen also appeared in the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles episode.
Awesome.
In which he is portrayed by Mark Warren from Hustle.
What, really?
Yeah. in Ring Raiders, you remember Ring Raiders?
Oh, yes.
Like a ring and a plane on it.
I remember Ring Raiders.
The character Baron von Clauditz is meant as a homage to Richthofen and it retains his original modified craft of Fokker DR1. Citation needed.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
What's your favourite colour, Baron?
I'm going to go with red.
Call him brown.
Brown Baron?
Yeah, Davy Dirtbox, that's his nickname. On to 1979 now.
Ooh.
And President Jimmy Carter. Good night.
We remember him.
Sorry.
We remember him.
Yeah.
Malaise forever.
Yeah. President Jimmy Carter is attacked by a swamp rabbit which swam up to his fishing boat in Plains, Georgia.
A swamp rabbit?
A rabbit in a swamp.
Attacked by? A swamp rabbit.
It's a swamp rabbit, yeah, all of the above. So he was on a solo fishing expedition near his hometown in Georgia when this rabbit that was being chased by hounds jumped into the water near him and swam aggressively towards his boat. And then the president shooed it off with a paddle and it swam away.
So not that aggressive then?
Not really, but back then, you know, pop culture was a lot slower back then, and there were many commentaries, cartoons, and novelty songs, including one by Tom Paxton called I Don't Want a Bunny Bunny, which we're not going to hear now because no.
Correct.
But basically, that killed his re-election chances.
I find it difficult to believe that that was what tipped it.
I don't know, there's less to do back then.
I'm pretty sure it was more about his handling of a hostage crisis, wasn't it? And the Panama Canal. I think that had more to do with it than a rabbit.
No, it was a rabbit. Okay. It was a rabbit.
Right, fine.
It was a swamp rabbit.
I'll go and update the history books forthwith.
If you could, I'd really appreciate that. Because, you know, I can't read.
Okay. Right, next.
1980, George Burns became the oldest person to have a hit on the Billboard Hot 100 when I Wish I Was 18 Again peaked at number 49.
I wish I was 18 again. Going where I've never been. Old folks and old oaks stand tall.
He was 84.
Wow.
When asked if he wished he was 18 again, Burns replied, I wish I was 80 again.
How did he speak?
I wish I was 80 again. Okay. The plane! I think that's him. Yeah. So he had this hit in 1980. Before that, his most recent charting record had been a spoken word comedy routine with his wife in the summer of 1933.
It's a bit of a gap, isn't it?
It is. So, George Burns, the oldest person to have a hit in America. Of course, here in the UK, it's Captain Tom with his hit Toe Tapper. Thank fuck I got out of Keithley with Michael Balls.
Fair play to him. Play to him for getting out of Keithley. I mean, I wasn't big on the single.
1992, and the All-Star Concert in memory of Freddie Mercury was held at Wembley Stadium on Easter Monday, of course. It was memorably featuring Spinal Tap, who said, in his honour, we would like to cut our set short tonight by about 35 songs.
Good.
Sadly, not present at that concert due to being... a dead was Benny Hill, who died sadly on this day due to not breathing anymore.
You idiot.
Frankie Howard had died on the 19th of April, and they tried to get basically a quote from lots of people that knew him and worked with him. So they asked if Benny Hill could, and they couldn't get in contact with him. So he's
Dennis Kirkland.
Basically made something like that. It was a chance with the old school, I shall miss him greatly.
Yeah.
And then they found out he'd been dead in his flat for 3 days. But when most people think of Benny Hill, they think of the, you know, the fast running, the crude knocker funnies, slapping a small man, etc.
Yeah.
Whereas me and you, a very different path.
Yeah.
What is it we think of, Phil?
We think of the ZX Spectrum Benny Hill game, which existed, is the key thing.
Benny Hill's madcap chase.
Yeah.
In which, what is your goal?
Your goal is to collect, is it underwear?
Well, it's clothes, but there is a lot of underwear in.
It's about five screens long, and you have to sort of run from the screen on the left all the way to the screen furthest to the right, collect some clothes off the line, and then go all the way back to the left and put them in a box. Mm. And while you're doing that, you will run into walls and fall down, run into phone boxes and fall down. Yeah. And also a woman will start chasing you and will knock you down and collect them back again.
Yeah, because apparently you're helping your neighbour, but you've not told anyone else. And rather than just say, oh, it's all right, I'm just collecting them for a comedy chase ensues. And comedy is indeed in speech marks. But yeah, that is what we think of. And that must be the weirdest celebrity tie-in ever. Unless...
Unless...
Dot, dot, dot.
No, there are weirder things because I have been on the internet and I've specifically gone to Den of Geek. And they have a list of 50 bizarre examples of movie tie-ins and merchandise. I've decided 50 is too many.
Right.
And so we've got 10.
So, number 10.
Number 10. Right. Street Fighter, the movie, the game. No one asked for this. No one wanted this. But it nevertheless existed. So I assume you've seen this, Ben. This is quite a reasonably well-known one at this point.
Well, I've seen the film with Kylie and Raul Julia. I think it died before it actually came out.
Yes, it was the last thing he did.
Yes, then they made a sort of game with that, and as of the time, digitized like video footage, basically.
Yeah, which it was really confusing, because Street Fighter 2's like, you know, as well as it being fun, it's anime-style art, and it looks really good. Yeah. And then you had... On the heels of that, you got Mortal Kombat, which was digitized sprites, and it was all about the blood and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, one actor, I think, that played most of the parts in Mortal Kombat. And then for Street Fighter, the movie, the game, they thought, we'll do it the same way Mortal Kombat did it, and we'll digitize all the people that were in the film and use those. And it's rubbish.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's got none of the fluidity of Street Fighter 2, and it's got none of the blood and gore of Mortal Kombat. So it's just this weird halfway house of nothing that didn't need to exist.
Number 9.
Dennis Nedry action figure.
It's that Wayne Knight from...
That is Wayne Knight Jurassic Park.
So for those who don't know, the fat guy with glasses who's basically doing dodgy deals.
Eaten by a Dilophosaurus. So I've just sent you a quick link to what he looks like, and I'd like you to tell the listeners, Ben, exactly how much like Wayne Knight this action figure looks.
That's a buff dude with sunglasses.
It looks like Arnie or something. It does. And why has he got like a chest holster for his pistol that he doesn't have? And what's that flamethrower backpack for? What's that about?
Well, that's famously, that's what they used. Wow. Number 8.
Number 8. Right. Daniel Craig ice lolly. An ice lolly company commissioned a poll to find out which male celebrity British women most wanted to get their tongue around on the end of a stick.
That's not okay.
So the ice lolly, I'm not going to send you a picture of this one, although it does defy belief. It's Daniel Craig's like upper torso and head and arms. And the stick is like where his waist would be. It's not a terrible license, but I don't understand why this is a thing that exists.
I mean, it's not something that would have happened in the past, is it?
No.
You know, there wasn't a Fatty Arbuckle ice cream. I mean, obviously that would have been a lot of ice cream and stuff.
Mate.
You didn't get a Walter Matthau ice lolly, did you? George Burns, he could have had one.
You remember those ice lollies that you got that were like two ice lolly sticks on one, and you could break it in half and stuff. You could have an Odd Couple one of those.
That would be amazing. Or a Kramer versus Kramer one.
That comes broken. That's broken in the first place.
I'm into it. Number 7.
From the same logic that brought you Street Fighter the movie. The game is Bram Stoker's Dracula, the novelization.
Did it in any way differ?
Well, yeah, because it's based on the film, which has that bit at the start that's not in Bram Stoker's original novel, and so it's based on the screenplay. So,
it does get conflated in my head a little bit with Interview with a Vampire.
Yes, that's fair.
And Dracula Dead and Loving It.
No. Continue.
Number 6.
Number 6, right. Raiders of the Lost Ark action figure.
Okay.
The German mechanic that Indy has a fist fight with and pushes into a propeller?
Yes.
Yeah, that guy. There's an action figure of him. It's a shirtless, bald, mustachioed man.
Okay. Does he come in bits?
No. And his head doesn't explode or anything. So,
hey, kids, you know that film you like? What, Indiana Jones? Yeah, Indiana Jones. You know, do you know that character you really like? What, Indiana Jones? No, not Indiana Jones. The other one, Short Round? No, not the other one. What, Alfred Molina? No, not that one. The guy's face melt? No, not that one. You know, the fight near the plane?
the plane?
Yeah. No. Do you get the propeller?
No. You just get the man. Just a shirtless man.
Rubbish. Number 5.
Number 5. I'm going to be coming to you as the license holder to pitch my business idea, and I want you to react as you think happened at the time.
Okay.
Okay? Knock, knock.
Who there?
Hi, it's me, Ian Business.
Ah, Mr. Business. I'm very fond of all your works in such things as finance and the other one.
That's exactly. So, I have a proposal for you, and it is three words. Are you ready?
I'm salivating, but that's just medical.
Here we go. Star. Trek.
Oh.
Coffins. So the thing that gets me is if you think Star Trek coffins, if you're a fan of the franchise, what you think of is Star Trek 2, they put Spock in a torpedo tube.
Yes, that's what was in my head, the firing of...
Yeah, no, it's not. It's a regular casket. It's just got, like, the Starfleet logo on it, and it's painted, like, yellow and black.
And then you get to the next, and they go, oh, sweet coffin, dude. And he went, oh, Mama said I like Star Wars, not Star Trek. Oh. Ruined, and then they'll laugh at you in the underworld forever.
Exactly.
Ends number four.
James Bond KFC ties. There's...
No, can you just not just say random words? Can you actually say a thing?
So KFC did promotional ties, and there's one that has like just the Aston Martin at the bottom of it.
Ties?
Ties. There's so much about this that doesn't make any sense. James Bond is not, like, associated especially with ties.
No.
KFC is not associated especially with ties. KFC is not associated especially with James Bond.
No.
How did these three things come together? I don't know.
I mean, to be fair, there is that scene where he says, I have a license to kill, and also a license to eat this delicious bucket of chicken. And then he sits there eating chicken for 30 minutes, and then with a moist towelette at the end. Also, chicken stinking tie. Lovely. Number three.
Right. This one's from Rocky. It's another action figure. And this one is, you know, that side of beef that he punches.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. I've seen it. I've seen it on the internet. It could be the pinball table that Paulie puts through Rocky 3 or something, you know. But I like that because at least it's abstract thinking. It's like going like, what would be funny? It's not like when Doctor Who put out Destroyed Cassandra, which was a plastic frame for $7.99.
That was, I believe that was a Woolworths exclusive, wasn't it?
It must have been because I only saw it at Woolworths and they had thousands of the bastards.
Yes. Yeah. So I assume it was... We'll definitely give you an exclusive figure. And it got to the day before. And I'm like, oh, shit, we've not done it. Not done it.
Yeah.
Quick. Yeah. Knock the middle out of those Cassandras. Yeah. we'll send them to Woolworths. And then Woolworths died.
Correctly. Number two?
Number two, the Transformers. Yes, we finally got there. Play shave kits.
Oh, because those big beardy Transformers.
I mean...
With their old beards that they're always having combing their beards. No.
No, that's fair enough. And this is for kids. So this is a fake razor, a shaving brush, some fake shaving foam, a comb, and some of those fake tattoos that you can press on.
And some Johnnies for the weekend.
No, absolutely not. Oh. This is for children, you weirdo. Why would you say that?
Yes, of course, this shaving kit for children.
Yeah.
How could I confuse it with anything else?
It includes a 5-ounce can of shapeable raspberry-scented bath foam, Ben. Come on.
And I bet no one went, that smells delicious. I wonder what... That was a reconstruction.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
And number one, the weirdest movie / celebrity tie-in of all time is...
The Passion of the Christ nail pendant. So it is a pendant that goes around your neck in the shape of one of them nails that they used to crucify him.
I genuinely can't think of anything to say. That is the most.
Yeah.
But what product, if Benny Hill could be slapped on anything, would you recommend?
I would rename Billy Bear Ham to Benny Hill Ham and have it as his face.
Have his face on
it.
I'm in. Goodbye.
Bye.
Don't Let's Chat was researched and presented by Phil Catterall and Ben Baker. Production was by Ben, and the theme music was by Paul Abbott. Want to support future episodes and get exclusive bonus shows not on the regular feed? Join patreon.com/dotletschart. And follow us on Twitter @dotletschart. And now, as ever, we close with our resident robot's topical take on the news.
Oh, God.
Bleep bloop. Stevenage Borough Council.
No. What?
Brasso.
It makes sense for the robot to drink Brasso.
Glug, glug, glug.
Wait a minute. I'm going to take off that robot mask. It's just you under it, Ben, drinking Brasso.
I need it. I would have gone away with it too if it wasn't for you pesky Brasso police. That is the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, Brasso police.
Bleep bloop.